Sippers, welcome to this episode of the Tea With Me podcast with me, your friend from high school, Shane Todd. Remember we used to go fishing down by the river on the summer holidays? It's that guy. Sippers, wow, we've got a lot to get through in this episode. Going to do your listeners' questions at the end. A lot of weird and wonderful topics. But we should start by talking about this. I have acquired myself the Logitech C920 webcam. Now, they're not even sponsoring this podcast. You're not going to believe this, but I had to pay full price for it. So I get it online. It arrives at my house. On the side of the box, it says only compatible with Windows. So I do a very me thing and box it up and just get ready to just leave it in a storage cupboard for 30 years. Because here's the thing, I've never returned. I don't understand people who are returning things. Because I know they make it easy for you to return stuff, like they send you a returns label. But hey, that is a lot of admin, and I would prefer to just financially take the hit. If that's what we got to do, that's what we got to do, because I'm not returning products. I don't know, I just think there's something really, really shameful about it. I'm only joking. No, I think you should return stuff. I just feel like I can't go through the hassle of doing it, even though, as I say, there is literally zero hassle. So I get this webcam. I'm excited about it because obviously I'm going to start an OnlyFans account. Which, here's the thing, is OnlyFans a website for just like people to strip on webcams and post sexy pictures? Or is there another side to it where people are just like, you know, doing acoustic covers? Is OnlyFans, it's just a way for me to look at OnlyFans. I have to do it from a podcast here. Oh. OnlyFans, right? Let me see. Cardi B has an OnlyFans. Sure. You have to sign up. Right, you have to sign up. And it looks like, and let's just say this, fitness models. And we all know what that means. So, I'm only joking, but I'm not. Yeah, like, young actors are on OnlyFans. A guy has it? Wow. I thought it was just women. Yeah, let me see. So there's a guy from Teen Wolf, the TV program, like the new one, called Tyler Posey. And obviously, listen, if you're called Tyler Posey, you're not going to have an OnlyFans account. Yeah, he created one, and he posted a trailer-like video featuring himself naked while sitting on a stool with his legs crossed playing a guitar. How much, mate? Because I'm paying it. Hey, how much will it cost to subscribe to your channel? Because here are all my bank details. You're telling me I get to see this guy naked sitting on a stool with his legs crossed playing a guitar? Hello, dream man. As a caption, he wrote, "You guys asked for it and I supplied. I now have an OnlyFans. Follow the link in my bio and come get wet with me." Ha ha. Hey, man, no one's laughing. And let me watch this trailer right now. Oh, shit, that's so loud. That's so loud in my headphones. I'm going to mute the video. I don't know if you guys heard that, but, you know. Okay, so his OnlyFans. Oh, yeah, he's kind of naked. Oh, yeah, he's naked playing guitar. Ah, mate, don't do that. Don't be doing that. Yeah, it's weird. I mean, what's funny is if me or anyone, like anyone else moderately well-known from Northern Ireland started an OnlyFans, you'd have like 4 subscribers. And 3 of them would be guys in their mid-40s. Okay, all right, guys, come get wet with me. Everyone you know go, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? Big Tyler Posey. Shout out to my man, Tyler Posey. Let's hashtag get him on the pod. So anyway, I figured out through extensive research that actually you just can use these on Macs, and it's pretty sly Logitech to just go, here, don't be using this on a Mac because it won't work, and then you plug it in and it does work. So anyway, this should hopefully be a clearer picture for the video podcast, and I'm going to get a wee light as well, like a wee makeup light as well for looking good for Tyler Posey. Tyler Posey, name of this week's episode. But yeah, all I'm saying is, I'm just trying to make a better home setup happen here because we are doing some interviews this week in the studio, interview episodes. But I think if there is going to be another lockdown, hashtag sly, that was my elbow, by the way. Then I'm going to need to have a bit more of a home studio setup. Here is the mug I'm drinking out of this week. I don't know if you can see it. Jawbox Belfast Gin. That's a mug somebody gave me, and Jawbox is one of the gins that the Money Toad would let pass through his lips. Let's put it that way. I'm a big fan of Jawbox. They're not sponsoring this episode, but Jerry, who owns Jawbox, is a gentleman, and I'm a big fan of their gin. I haven't drank gin in so long. I haven't drank gin in well over a year because gin just goes down so easy. And that is a very weird thing for a 32-year-old male to say in his podcast. That's like if Joanna Lumley had a podcast, that's what she would be saying. Oh, darling, gin goes down so easy. That was Doc Cotton. But Jim! Shout out to Doc Cotton. Remember Nana Moon from EastEnders died in EastEnders, and in West Belfast somewhere, someone spray painted a wall and wrote RIP Nana Moon. And I nearly died because I just love the idea that that's something that everyone in Belfast can agree on, that Nana Moon, God rest her, is big loss to soap world. But what was I talking about? Oh yeah, gin. So if I drink gin, I don't realize I'm getting drunk. Because like if you're drinking pints of cider, which is what I normally drink, you understand because you're drinking so much volume, you're like, Jesus, this is hard to get through after a while. Whereas gin and lemonade, which is one of my cheeky tipples, like most people go gin and tonic, I 100% go gin and lemonade. I keep scratching my nose, probably because of what I was doing just for this podcast. But imagine I was just taking gear. I have a really itchy nose, flat out before on my podcast. It'd be very weird. But what am I talking about? Gin. The longest ramble set up to a thing that is not really a thing. It's just me saying, I like to drink gin. I haven't drank gin in a while. And one time I was at a Christmas party or a housewarming party. I can't remember. Some sort of do at my friend Neil and Lauren's house. And I started to tell people at the house that I was planning to propose to my now wife, who was my girlfriend at the time. And I was telling people too loudly, and I was telling too many people, and going like this, shh, don't say anything, that I realized I had to take myself out of the equation, or I was going to blab about it, so I just demanded to be taken home really early in the night. And everyone's like, oh my God, did he have to go home because he was so drunk? And I was like, no, I turned into such a middle-aged gin-drinking woman, I was like, no, I have to go home because I don't trust my mouth. Take me home, somebody, now, and I'm sitting in the back seat. Put me in the boot and take me home. Put me on your parcel shelf. So yeah, that was funny. And then I had to explain to my wife, like, way down the line later, I was like, the reason I had to leave that party that night is because loose lips sink ships, and I was about to put down the Titanic, you know? I like gin. I like gin and lemonade, but I drink a lot of it. Also once, I was at a party at my friend Stephen's house, and it was a housewarming party, and I drank pretty much a bottle of gin, and then was sick. You know, just went up to his bathroom, was sick in a sink. And most people probably would say, that's bad etiquette, you got to be sick in someone's toilet. But no, I vomit in a little parcel. So I just, that's the noise. I go, that's the noise I make when I'm sick. And it was a very Protestant amount for the sink to handle. And it would have been wasted doing it in the toilet. And I don't like anyone telling me where to be sick. But anyway, I like gin and I want to get on with the podcast because I want to talk about this. We haven't done TripAdvisor in a while. In the TripAdvisor section of the podcast, I look at some of the worst TripAdvisor comments for a business. And then we just see what people are saying. Why not this week for TripAdvisor, for bad TripAdvisor, look at Burger King. Bad TripAdvisor, Burger King, Belfast City Centre. Let's filter the worst reviews. Now, I'm going to point out that there's always really good reviews of places, but we don't read those. So I'm saying I'm reading out the terrible ones, but that is no reflection on the restaurant because anything we look at in this, it always says like good and bad, but we're just looking at the bad. So, let me see, terrible. So we're going to click on terrible. Now, as always with these reviews, I don't know whoever has that bad of a meal experience, they want to go on TripAdvisor and just berate the restaurant, but people do it. and Vincent J is no exception. Food was cold and a member of staff was mopping floors where we were eating. Would never go back to a disgusting place. Yeah, I mean, it seems like his gripe is that the staff were cleaning up. But that offends Vincent J. He's like, absolute disgrace. Bring on the filth. Joss, whose picture is a picture of Avicii. So it may well just be a person who looks a lot like Avicii. The food is disgusting in it. Felt sick for 2 days after. Plus the manager is very rude and unhelpful. I mean, when you started being sick, you probably said, so wake me up when it's all over. When I'm not sick and I am sober. The manager is very rude and unhelpful. Sick for 2 days. ACMT says, last time I will be in this place. As someone who cannot eat mayonnaise and specifies no mayo in the order, every single time the burgers arrive with mayo on. That's a story of my life. I say specifically no mayo. I will die if there's mayo on my burger. They bring me mayo. Just paid £5.10 for a burger, not the meal. Asked for the bacon, lettuce, no mayo. Opened it up. No bacon, but covered in mayo. So not just, what I like about that is not just a bit of mayo. I like it that when they ordered, the person in Burger King Belfast was like, here, smother that in mayonnaise. They either said they were allergic to mayonnaise or they said, you can't give me enough mayonnaise. How difficult can it be? The guys making the burgers are standing 5 feet behind the person taking the order. Won't be back again. Won't be back again. That person just want one contribution to TripAdvisor, so they set up an account to say that. Astro Balls has given 14 reviews out before, and 10 of them have been excellent, so you know he's not just giving bad reviews for no reason. Terrible fast food. Nothing good about this fast food. The crew gave us the wrong order and wrong receipt. Hey, who the fuck are the crew? Do you mean the people working there, or do you mean like some guys in leather jackets walking about pushing people saying, hey, don't get in the wrong side of the crew? Terrible fast food. This place should close. I think this place has no manager or supervisor. Or is there? Shit. Emma says, filthy. Our view whilst eating was a huge doormat. Needed all the dirt and fluff hoovered off it. Well, where were you eating your food? Face down on the doormat? Our view was a huge... How big is a doormat that you couldn't look anywhere else? Because surely the doormat is at the door. White metal tables were actually black with years of dirt. The whole place needed upgrading, a good deep clean. Can't believe this restaurant is in a prime spot in Belfast. Embarrassing. Feel embarrassed for any tourist visiting the city. So much nicer places to eat than this filth. Yeah, I mean, if they're tourists visiting the city, they probably won't be headed straight to Burger King. If they are looking for a bit of culture, they're not going to get off the cruise ship and be like, ah, what is this place? A beautiful. These guys are the king of burgers. Oh, it must be amazing. It is the burger royalty. I must try. I asked for no mayo. What is this? What is this? I asked for no mayo. I asked for no mayo. The guy has given me 1 liter mayo. My burger was so cold when I opened its packet. My daughter couldn't finish hers as we just felt ill with the surroundings. We'll never be back. I mean, okay, the place might need decorating, but who's looking around it being like, oh, I'm going to be sick. How entitled are these people? Oh, my daughter's going to be sick. This is me after a jet. Oh, my daughter's going to be sick because your place is so garish. Put new wallpaper up. My child is going to vomit on their feet. Should be closed down. Filthy. Francis, this burger chain should close to save the reputation of other outlets. So thinking of the bigger Burger King picture here. Our chicken was better described as rubber strips with pepper. Unpalatable. Onion rings were so overcooked they were dried out and dark brown. Staff presentation was unacceptable for the chain standards. Why, what are you expecting? Staff presentation wasn't good. I mean, some of these guys were 6 out of 10s. They looked untidy, even scruffy, dirty and unhygienic. Hey, it's called being a hipster. Staff with long hair had a tie back, but being so long the ponytail fell forward. and that was both in the cooking and serving areas. Yeah, why? I mean, that is weird. Why is the king himself just employing like Rapunzel, like people with the longest hair in Belfast? We would visit again. Would we visit again? Definitely not. Staff and building need a good scrub. I mean, sly. I wish to give a 0 rating, but the lowest I can give is a 1 on this site, which is misleading, as that's more than Burger King deserves. Signed off, Francis. And Francis has given 11 reviews before, and they've all been poor or terrible. So I think Francis W, you might be the problem. Grace, the staff were quite rude. This made me very uncomfortable eating here. Don't recommend at all. Not good experience. The staff made me uncomfortable. Yeah, that's because you went in full McDonald's merch. You know what I mean? The staff were just sticking up for Burger King. PGSME just writes slow and disgusting. Now, that is a pretty strong way to review something. Arrived on Sunday evening, a bit of a queue, but since it's fast food, I thought it wouldn't take too long. The kids were looking forward to a treat. 25 minutes later, I got served. There were plenty of staff, but they all appeared to be in go-slow mode and were lethargic and disinterested. Hey, translation, all stoned. That's a guess. Took the kids to the toilet before leaving. They were filthy. Sinks were disgusting. I think he means his children. Sinks were disgusting. One tap didn't work and there was no toilet roll. Hardly good enough for an eating establishment. I was really annoyed at this stage, so decided to speak to a manager. Hello, is that Sir Alex Ferguson? Why are you phoning me to tell me about Burger King toilets in Belfast? Sir Alex, why are you talking in a totally different accent to what you've always talked in? Just banter. All right, well, cheers. I'm going back to my Whopper here. The manager looked about 12, and when I said we waited 25 minutes to get served, she replied it was busy and people had called in sick. As for the toilets, they are checked regularly. Well, clearly they aren't. We'll not be back. I mean, I like this setup. You've got a 12-year-old manager. Of course, things aren't going to happen to the best standards. You know, we've ran out of toilet roll. 12-year-old manager's like, I don't care. I quite literally don't care. I'm 12. Nikoj says, junky place and slow service. No. This disgusting place for junkies with drug aluminium down the floor in the toilets and a very long queue to order. Now, what I like about that is you even feel the need to be like, here, the queues are pretty long too, if that is true. You know what I mean? Someone's like, me and my family had to do the long jump over heroin-filled syringes. Oh my God, that's, you haven't heard the worst of it, Deirdre? Waited 7 minutes on a Whopper. What? That's disgusting. You should phone Nolan about that. I know, 7 minutes. We timed it. No, I was talking about the heroin needles. Yes, they were bad too. I think it's sly when people like call people by name. Like this person's from Athens in Greece. Rarely have I experienced customer service on such a low level. Went here for lunch with a friend and I ordered a burger and a chocolate Oreo shake. Someone's not on a diet. When the clerk, in brackets Chloe, served me my shake, this person ordered a large shake. It looked the same as a normal shake. I asked Chloe, it was a chocolate shake. She confirmed this without looking. Well, hey, Chloe's a pro. You know what I mean? Chloe has that chocolate shake scent. She's like, yes, mate. I made the manager aware of this. He told me it was a normal shake, told Chloe to make me a chocolate one, which she did. Putting what seemed like way too much chocolate in. You can't. So it's too much chocolate now. Here he goes. He's from Athens, right? So he goes up and he goes, how do they speak, mates? He goes up and he's like, Chloe, mates. I've asked for a chocolate shake. It's no chocolate shake. Chloe hasn't looked at it. That's the point. Chloe's gone, it is, mate. No, but there is no chocolate. Mate, it is. Don't make me look at it. May I speak to manager, please? Manager, is this chocolate shake? Manager's like, nah, mate, no chocolate in that. Manager, Chloe, make him a chocolate milkshake here. Chloe, fair enough. Fires chocolate into it. Guy back up. Chloe, he's too much chocolate. Chloe is just doing her job. That would never be a problem for anyone with a normal attitude. Here, they give me loads of chocolate here. Result, this guy raging. Chloe did this without, but not without making a comment about how I needed to ask for chocolate, which I did. Talking with friends, I can confirm this is not the first time this has happened. The staff at this restaurant do not seem to care much about customer service. Okay, but you're traveling from Athens in Greece. So who were you? What friends were you talking to that were like, actually, mate, I have been to the same restaurant. Did Chloe not look at your shake? By the way, where are we from? We are from all different parts of the world, mate. But in Athens, the main thing we talk about is Chloe does not look at the shake. Do you think when he finished, he took the shake and just threw it down the ground, smashed it? That's a joke about Greek people smashing things, which they actually do. Let me look for one more terrible one. Chips. Didn't even put chips in the bag. Right, here we go. Tommy. Burger King is fit for a peasant. Burger King's not fit for a peasant. Total disappointment. Burger King tasted of dirty, stale fat. Dirty floors and very tired-looking decor. Has not had a facelift in over 15 years. Cold upstairs, just don't use the toilets. Brian M. just says, disgusting. Staff just work there for the money with no care for service. Okay, yeah. You're going to find, Brian, mate, 99% of people who work in jobs do it for the money. You're going to find, and there will be exceptions to this, but not everyone in Burger King is working in Burger King because they're passionate about grilled meat. Not everyone who works in Burger King is passionate about flame grilling burgers. You're going to find a lot of people who work in Burger King, and indeed any job, are working in that job for money. Because, Brian, you know what money means? You can be alive. You know, Brian, at the same time, having a passion for something is great, but that's just a bonus. But people probably are attracted to work in Burger King because it is a job. So that means they have money, Brian. And that means they can spend that money, Brian, on luxuries such as, I don't know, rent and food. To be fair, Brian's from Bangor, so I think his attitude is like, oh no. I was served by a supervisor and was not happy. Outdated toilets from the Stone Age. That's a real Bangor attitude that you would genuinely think that. You know what I mean? You'd go in, look at it. And the toilet's probably like 10 years out of date, but people from Bangor, like Brian, would go in and look at it and be like, oh no. These Time Team have just been in to film an episode here. Food was cold. The fries tasted they were cooked from old oil. Had spent over £10, hardly ate the food. Went to McDonald's and far better in every way. Mr. Anderson, the peasant of the burger. Corporate. Cost too much for an excuse of the burger. Also, the chips are worst of all the fast food restaurants. So what we're going to do just to balance this out is we're going to find an excellent review and read that just to show people that. Some people absolutely love it. Oh, brilliant. Someone with the username The Daily Spoofer leaves an excellent review because I want to balance it out here. 5 stars in January 2017. And they start like this. Vince Lombardi is quoted as saying perfection is not attainable, but if we chase perfection, we can catch excellence. Stop the car, Vinny baby. Get the cuffs and book them in. Burger King in Belfast beside the City Hall. Just serve me a meaty festival of culinary delight. A grass-fed beast of joy was enjoyed with seasonal salad and free-range egg mayo. I think this guy might have been spoofed too. Also, may I add, the triple fried salty fries were a complete saliva-dripping treat executed with 2 sachets of Heinz's Finest Red. Garçon, some of your finest red, please. Just squeezing it out of the wee tube. What I like is that this person, by the way, that's a fantastic review. I like that they have probably asked the staff all these questions and the staff are just like, yes, mate. Not listening to the question. Excuse me, is the mayo in this free range? Yes, mate. Okay, and is it vegan? Yes, mate. All right, but is there dairy in it? Yes, mate. I absolutely love that. I just wish that this person had left more reviews, but they haven't. You're a beautiful person, whoever you are. Yeah, I really enjoy that. Perfection. Grass-fed beef. free range mayo. That's what we're all about. Also, toilets disgusting. I'm waiting to find out what the crack with stand-up shows is. Still, nobody knows. The executive have just, the Northern Ireland Assembly or whatever, the government, I don't really understand it. I'll criticise it, but I don't understand it. They have said that they're going to curfew at 10:30. I think it's 10:30 or 10. All bars in Belfast and Northern Ireland. And what that means is we can probably still do stand-up. But it means, oh, my hair just cannot be tamed. It means that everyone has to be out way earlier. It means they're telling the bars to open, but they're like, but definitely close at a time when people would be going to bars. And they're going to have everybody out at the same time, out in the street. Dublin Road's going to be packed. They're going to, they clearly, when people leave a bar at 10 or half 10, they are going to go back to someone's house because they're blitzed and they'll be like, fuck it, we don't care. So what you're going to have, you're going to create a house party, more of a house party culture. No one's going to, if bars close at 10 or half 10, nobody's going. Unless it's for a very specific reason, like if a show can go ahead. So they're basically being like, bars, you need to open, but we're tying your hands. And I don't want to go on about this on every podcast, but I will make an open invitation to any politician who's dealing with this sort of thing to come on the podcast. We'll do it in the studio in Hollywood, or we'll do it over Zoom, and we will, I'll sort my hair out for it, because at the minute it's just an absolute disgrace and a law unto itself, but like the Burger King toilets. But anyone who would come on, let's do it. Let's have a chat. Let's see what we can do, because so many people that do the sort of job I do have so many questions and they're just getting no answers. So I'd love to get Arlene Foster on the podcast, Michelle O'Neill, whoever. Jerry Adams, I mean, I don't know if he's involved with it, but, you know, I think there's questions we need answers to. So that is an open, I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb here and assume that Arlene Foster and Michelle O'Neill don't watch or listen to the podcast, but I'm sure friends of theirs do, so I don't know, let's just make it happen. Anyway, I need to lift my mood, so we're going to do listeners' questions. And when I said I need to lift my mood, it made me think that some people might think I'm talking about a guy called Mahmood, and that's maybe a new feature on the podcast. Also, here's this weird thing where people are writing, what is the thing? Shit, ratioed or something, where you write under a post ratioed and then you try and get more likes on that than the original post. And it's really weird. And this like guy did it. I'm going to assume he's like a very young guy who follows me. And I'm assuming he's a young guy because his picture is a footballer. And he was like, I just put up a gig post like weeks ago or whatever. And he wrote like ratioed. And I was like, oh, I don't know what you mean. And he's like, oh, virgin. Now, his picture, his username on his picture was a footballer, like a Premier League footballer. So, guys, we had to block someone today. We had to block someone today. And when I'm too old to understand what you're trying to do humor-wise, you get blocked. And that is quite hypocritical, because I'm like, let's get a podcast, let's get a politician onto the podcast, because I don't understand and I want to. But at the same time, I'm just saying, you're blocked. To someone who I don't understand. So, you know, it's six of one, it's half a dozen of the other there, and that's a phrase I've never understood. Patrick Quinn, BGIC, Bidjik, Belfast guy in China. At what point of growing up would you say you were at the pinnacle of your coolness? I've never really been cool. And I know there'll be everyone listening being like, man, don't be ridiculous. You're basically like a modern-day version of the Fonz. I've never been cool. I'm not going to be cool in a second, because I'm going to have to plug my laptop into the mains, which is over on the other side of the room. So I'll have to bring my laptop over, and I'll that will be a whole thing. And that's not cool. That's not smooth. But this is a sad fact. I'm probably cooler now than I've ever been. And that's sad, because we can all face it now. I'm not that cool of a guy. Well, I mean, it's not for me to say if you think I'm sweet or whatever. It depends. You know, back in the day, let's just say back in the day, I was in the Scouts, which isn't cool. But let's just say I was a little bit of a messer in the scouts. Now, does that make me cool? No, but 1% less cool, yes. Nah, this is the coolest I've ever been. I'm pretty cool now. You know what I mean? Like, I'm pretty down with it, you know? Young people send me messages on Twitter with some modern slang, and I block them, so I'm a cool guy. You know what I mean? I'm down with the kids. And when I say down with the kids, I'm blocking the kids on social media as soon as they say something I don't understand. And that's the way it, in the words of Tupac, that's just the way it is. Patrick, I've never been cooler than I am now, so I'm enjoying it. Terry Charlton says, is this you? And it's street art in Belfast. Terry, it isn't. But if anybody does want to do street art of me in Belfast, do it. But I swear, don't mug me off. Like, don't give me big long fingers or something. Don't have like a 30-foot wall and do me like 5 feet, my body at the top, and then make my fingers come the whole way down to street level. Don't do that. I know I said that, somebody will do it. Sean Webb, how is West End Girls not dancing enough for your Friday night radio show? I've complained to 6 separate people about this. They don't care either. Sean, it's not me. It's just not dancy enough, because it's dancy in that, listen, I have a bottle of gin and I'm going to dance to that with my trousers off. But it's more, the radio show's old school dance. You know what I mean? That's the vibe. Whereas West End Girls is more, you know what I mean? Your mummy's dancing to it. In a West End town, a dead end wild, the East End boys and West End girls. In a West End town, a dead end wild, the East End boys and West End girls. West End girls, do 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 do. If, when, why, what, how much have you got? You know, don't get me wrong, I respect the song to the point where I do a dead on impression of it because I love it so much, but it's not going to make it on, unfortunately. Ross Sterling, is chiffon green always in vogue? I don't know what that is, but I'll Google it. And if I don't know what it is and I think it's something young people are into, Ross, you're getting blocked. Chiffon green, chiffon, am I saying it right? It's a color. Is it always in vogue? Oh, it's that dark green. Yeah, that's always in vogue. That is 100% always in vogue, Ross, because it's like, it's old school glamour, that color. You know what I mean? It's nostalgia. It's something I could definitely see, you know, high powered female business bosses wearing, and female business bosses. Is definitely a podcast, I'm sure, that exists somewhere. But yeah, that color green is always in vogue. And I'll be honest, I love it. And I'll be honest, it's behind me. Now, that's just because it's not bright in here. That's actually not what color is, but that's what color it looks. So I'm going to have to plug my... You're getting to see my hall here, by the way, my upstairs hall. Jesus Christ. If this breaks... Right. Hang on, I'm going to have to plug the laptop. Will I just keep rolling? Right, let's do it. So what I hear as well is whenever I take headphones off, my ears stick to my head and it looks really weird. Because actually I have big ears, but it suits my head. So there you go. Hang on. Oh, Jesus Christ tonight. Hold on now. Oh, Jesus. Here we go. Brilliant. And this is actually a podcast. You know what I mean? This is actually part of a podcast. Right, we're plugged in. Butt plug, here we go, we're in. Oh no, that's not going to reach there now. Jesus Christ. Oh, bollocks. Right, wait now. Jesus Lord, save us. Christ above. Hold on. Deary me. Okay, wait. I'll just set my tea down. And then I'm going to come over here. And then we're just here. You know what I mean? And I've changed the angle up of the podcast. And I'll be honest, I'm probably going to stick like this. This is my new podcast angle. Is that better? I feel like that's better. That's a new podcast angle. All right. We're going to continue with these questions. Oren Kane says, what's the verdict on Leeds this season? Where will they place? Do you think the Premier League should fund the lowest leagues before they go bust? This is not a football podcast. This is not a football podcast. It's been pointed out many, many, many times. So I'll answer this in 10 seconds. Extremely entertaining. I think they'll finish 8th. And should the Premier League have to fund the lowest leagues before they go bust? They shouldn't have to, but they should. They should make a really nice donation or some sort of like very long-term loan. Owen Kelly says, hello, Money Toad. Hope all is good on the lily pad. Heard recently on either your podcast or Dave's that you were still cycling about the place into your 20s. Any advice for a man similarly lacking in a driver's license? A full-time loser virgin guy asking for a friend, in brackets, I'm not asking for a friend. Owen, what you're talking about there is the fact that, yeah, basically I used to cycle everywhere because I didn't pass my driving test until I was 21. And I didn't really go anywhere. I just messed about in Hollywood. So I just worked in Hollywood. I didn't need to go and do anything really, or I would have got the bus or the train. So I was a cycler guy. I was always on my bike, but I wasn't like a cycle enthusiast. I used to have like wick bikes and I would just have a wee lock on it. And I would like, if you were like, come on, we'll head down to my mate's house or whatever. I was arriving there via bicycle. And I think that would be okay if you had like a class road bike and you had all the gear, but I was just wearing like normal clothes, just cycling down with headphones on, a wee plastic bag with all my stuff in it, cans of cider. And it wasn't a sweet look. I mean, it's a sweet look definitely when you're 13, but then when you get older, you got to get involved in the car game. Like, life gets a lot better whenever you're able to drive a car. And it's funny seeing people like me who didn't drive whenever they were like, they just hit driving age and did it later. And then they were like, why have I always not done this? Like, comedians notoriously don't really drive. Like more local stand-ups, I would say, don't drive than drive. And maybe there is some sort of psychology to that. I don't know what it is. Just lazy or something. But, you know, I remember Colin Geddes didn't drive for a year until like maybe his late 20s or something there. And then as soon as the first time I saw him drive, I was like, I can't remember when he didn't drive. You know what I mean? It's just, it's weird. It's weird that you forget that if you don't drive, how much it can limit you in terms of like just needing to go somewhere. Like whenever someone that does stand up lives in Derry and they come up to Belfast for a gig and you're chatting with them backstage and they're like, here, I got to leave early and get my bus. And you're like, shit. I know that's not the worst thing in the world, obviously, but you're like, you got to walk to the bus station. You maybe got to wait in the rain. You got to get on the bus. What if you don't get a seat? What if you get stuck beside a guy who's like, all right, well, what's happening? God doesn't exist. No, sure he doesn't, mate. What about Pizzagate? You know, you definitely would get stuck there. Whereas whenever you're able to drive, you've got your own freedom. So I remember as soon as I was able to drive, I was like, now I'm living. But also, when I passed my test when I was 21 and I was a student and I was working as like a dishwasher, I think. I was doing a bit of waitering in a restaurant and getting the car was fine. My first car cost, my dad got my first car for me. Daddy bought my first car for £120. And it was that little money that he like didn't ask for it back. You know what I mean? He was like, listen, I just got that because a mate's niece or something had the car. They were going to scrap it, but here, you can have it. And I said in the podcast a couple of weeks ago, I was like, I think I know the value of money well because I've always paid for everything myself, like car insurance, tax, all that kind of thing. But actually, my first Corsa was bought for me. And whenever people say, daddy bought me a car, it's like girls whose dad get them a Fiat 500. My first car was a silver Vauxhall Corsa. It's such a standard car that you used to just see everywhere. Everybody at some point really had a Corsa. And I remember the car was £120. We had to do a wee bit of work to it to just get it on the road. And always something would go wrong with it. Like the engine always overheated. Like just a wee bit, and you'd have to stop the car and you have to pour water into it. There was always like a rattling in it. I remember me, Mickey Bartlett, and Sean Hegarty went to do a gig in Donegal, and the exhaust fell off, and I had to get one of them to drive me to a garage to buy string, and I had to get under the car. We had to go to a center in the middle of nowhere to buy string, and I had to tie the exhaust to the underside of the car. But none of that matters. Like, if that happened to you now, having driven for years and being older, you'd be like, no, I just can't do that. I prefer to just get a taxi or I'll get a lift or whatever. But back then, you're just so buzzing to have the freedom of your own car. It doesn't matter what you're driving. You feel like, you just feel so much better about yourself because you're like, this is my car. And I remember the first day I passed my test on the day of my 21st birthday. And I only passed because the driving instructor was going to Egypt that day on holiday, and he was so buzzing about it, he just kept telling me what he was going to be doing when he was there. And I remember myself knowing that I probably had about 6 majors on my test, but he wasn't paying attention because he's like, I were all inclusive and all. But I remember, and if I saw anyone do this now, I would cringe out. But I need to remember stuff like this. I remember driving down to Halfords to buy anything I could for the car. Didn't matter. Mats for the back seat, you know, mats for the ground. I wanted to buy like an air freshener. I wanted to get any wee thing I could for this car because I was like, this is my own car. And I was driving down the Upper Newton Arch Road to the Collinswater Halfords, and I had a Lil Wayne CD that Colin Geddes ironically burnt for me. I was like, mate, can you burn me that album? And he burnt me it, so he did on his PC. And true story. And I remember it was a sunny day, it was the 9th of June, and I turned the CD player up nearly as loud as it would go, and in slow-moving traffic, I just cruised down the Upper Newton Arch Road, and I was like, I don't care who sees me, I'm driving a 1-liter Corsa that cost us 120 quid or something, but it's my 120 quid Corsa. And I loved that car. I loved that car so much. Like, there was a little bit of rust on it here and there, but you just didn't care because you were like, this is my, I own this car. Yeah. I remember driving the tech in it and stuff. And if we were like, when we started tech, we're like the whole class, like, because you do your student grants in and you're like, let's go to the zoo. And I remember like people piling into the car to drive. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm driving. This is my car. This is my Corsa. My second, I'm not going to take you through a history of cars I've owned. My second car cost 50 quid and was a Peugeot 206. So I went 110 quid to a 50 quid car. And unfortunately now I'm actually paying a bit more money for my cars. But I liked it back in the day when you were just driving absolute scrappers and you felt like a king doing it. So I don't know what the question was, but I hope I answered it. One Flying Irishman. Online PT versus in-person PT. Is online training as good? Starting to think it may be judging by the amount of PTs I see at the gym that just sit on their phones during sessions with their clients. So I can only really talk about my experience of, you know, being a big rip bastard, but I'm only joking. So I have done both. And I have really good experiences both because I always went to the gym with like no direction. Who are a One Direction tribute band. So me and them would, in between them going on tour, we all would have worked out together. And I would have went to the gym and just done what, you know, 10 reps or something for biceps and 10 reps or something for chest. And then just like gone on the treadmill or something. I didn't know what I was doing and still probably don't know what I'm doing. And then I went to like an in-person PT in the Clayton, in Belt Clayton Hotel in Belfast. I was working with a guy called Gary and it was brilliant. I really enjoyed the in-person part of PTing because, you know, there's no real hiding place. Now, I'm... Dickhead thing to say, alert, I'm self-motivated. So like if I am doing something, then I'm all in. I'm doing it. I will stick to it. I don't need someone to be like, are you sure you're doing this okay? I will be doing the exercises and stuff. So it was good to just work out with Gary, do a session with him and learn kind of when you're in a gym, what you should be doing. So I really enjoyed that. But the only thing I couldn't really, after a while, do going forward with that was commit to what day and time I could be there. And I felt so shit cancelling sessions. But I never know what my day is going to look like. During lockdown, I have a better handle on it. But back then, it was like, you know, You might be asked to go for a meeting in the BBC, or, you know, you might be asked to submit a script for something. So my days, I never knew what the crack was with my days. But that was a brilliant way, working with Gary, who now runs a thing called Fitness Belfast, where one of his main focuses is like yoga for guys. And I went to a couple of his classes and absolutely phenomenal. Really, really, really good. So if you ever think about doing yoga and you're a fella and you're maybe worried about, wouldn't even know how to start, or I didn't either. I went to some of his classes and they were brilliant. So I got a lot out of going to an in-person PT. Realized best way to utilize your time in the gym, and what helps is got on really, really, really well personally, and still do. But the online PTing, I think, suits me better personally, because, as I say, I'm self-motivated. I've got like some equipment in the house, enough equipment to kind of get by, which is just one kettlebell and steroids basically. So what I do is just whack some gear in and then just do 7,000 reps. I'm only joking. But I find the online really good because I can work away myself. I can do it all from home. And then I'm just sort of checking in once a week. And Matthew, who I PT with, who's absolutely brilliant again, I'm really good at sort of keeping me on course. And there too, I'm just going to give out like his Twitter handle and stuff, just in case you're like, I want to do it online, and I'm looking for something to go with. Matthew has been brilliant with me. The strength coach. I knew it wasn't. Inside Strength. That's it. Inside Strength on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, all that kind of thing. Matthew's brilliant. Matthew McMahon. So we're doing like a 12-week program, just about to finish it. And then hopefully he's up for going on to something else with me, like altering it slightly. But I love it. And I'm not, by the way, this is not a sales pitch for, oh, go with Matthew. He has he uses an app called True Coach, which is absolutely brilliant. I sent him all the equipment I have. He knows what I want, what my goals are and stuff. And he's every week he sets me workouts that I just get through my phone and tick them off as I go. There's explainer videos and all that. So I find that like a real good way to do it. And I actually did an episode of, in case you're like, what a dick just talking about health and fitness whenever you are a comedian that looks like Ellen DeGeneres. But if you actually are interested in me talking, and then someone who actually knows what they're talking about, I did Matthew's podcast, Inside Strength podcast. So you can find that and listen to it. And that's me talking to him about health and fitness and all that kind of thing. So I hope that was in some way interesting too. But yeah, I definitely see the merit in both, in online and actually going to the gym to do it. Dean Carroll says, who's your favourite newsreader apart from Andy Peters, obviously? Oh, my favourite newsreader? It's hard to beat STMCD, Sir Trevor McDonald. And I just heard Sir Trev is single again. He's living it up on a bachelor pad in London. That is a showbiz story that I enjoyed. But yeah, Sir Trevor McDonald, I like him. I like Rose Neil is good. I like, is it Joe Scott in BBC? She's good. Obviously, look, Paul Clark, man's a legend. Man's been around the block. Enjoy him. Beverly says, now that you're not doing any more Boytown podcasts, will you do more Tea With Me podcasts? We do three a week at the minute, so I probably can't. You know, there's the that's not a question. There is an episode on the Patreon, patreon.com/teawithmepodcast. That goes out every Monday. We do a Wednesday episode and a Friday episode of the podcast. So Beverly, I can't do more than that. I'm literally maxed out. You know, if I drank any more cups of tea, I'll turn into a cup of tea. Rebecca Patton, cats or dogs? Probably dogs, but listen, not really fussed on either. And I'll say this though. There's dogs that I like, and there's cats that I like, but there are very few. And I'm not a dog guy or not a cat guy, but I'm just not really into pets in general. Mrs. Colchie, can you keep your nose out of the cup when you're drinking tea? Yeah, what are you trying to say? I mean, I have a very standard sized hooter. You know, I broke my nose playing indoor football a couple of years ago. We got a slight bend in there, but it's nothing too bad. It's nothing too bad. You know, it's like, how would you describe it? It's like the string in a bow and arrow, if you just pulled it ever so slightly. You know what I mean? Like, you're not really noticing it, unlike some people who are pulled the whole way back and you're like, hey, you know, what happened there? But yeah, I've broken my nose before. I can definitely keep my nose out of a cup of tea when I'm drinking tea. Otherwise, I wouldn't drink tea because I would always have tea in my nose. And every time I sipped, I would have to dry my nose. And I would just hate that. I would really hate that. Always funny when someone drinks a pint of Guinness and gets the like foam on their nose, gets the head on their nose, and then doesn't address it and moves on with conversation. To me, that's always funny. That is always funny. And you guys know I don't eat gluten. I don't consume gluten. But the next time that I drink a pint of Guinness, which will probably be soon, I'm going to drink it. Next time I'm in a bar, I'm going to have a pint of Guinness because I miss it. And no one can stop me. Owen Cockey, if you could pick one Inspector Gadget trait, what would it be? Like Go-Go Gadget arm, etc. I'd probably have that superpower he had where, you know, he I think he was drink driving or he caused an accident by dangerous driving, killed someone in Ireland and then just absolutely got away with it. So that would, you know, that would be a trait. Not that I would ever obviously drink drive, but, you know, if I had some sort of accident and I was going to get in trouble, I would be like Go-Go Gadget, you know, not guilty. That would be one of them. Am I right in saying that? I think I was literally talking about this the other day. Matthew Broderick, who plays Inspector Gadget in the films, who's married to Sarah Jessica Parker, was involved in an accident down south in the 80s or 90s. And like, it's one of those ones where like somebody definitely died thanks to his driving. And he's like, here, I'll just head over to America here. There was something more to that. I don't know what it is though. And if you're listening, Matthew, I apologize. We'll get you on the podcast. We'll straighten it out. Joshua says, Stephen Nolan versus Pete Snodden, cage match. Who's your money on? Right. If Nolan's pumped up, you know, I mean, if Nolan is pumped up, like if he was in the mood he was when he was tearing through the Holy Lands, you know, squaring up the students, 100% Nolan, that's who my money's on. And I think he'd finish in the first round. You know, if Nolan's like, what are you doing over there? Nolan all the way. But if, you know, if both guys are going in the same mindset, I'm backing Snodden because Pete is in good shape. He's a guy that takes care of himself. He's a guy that, you know, I think would be quite methodical in that I think if there was enough training for the fight, enough of a training camp, I think Nolan might start off training really hard for it. Then he'd lose his way. Then he'd get back, you know, he'd dip in and out. Whereas Snodden's going to be in the gym every day learning the technique. So I think Nolan might be a more skilled, more of an aggressor, but I'm backing Snodden to take him in the fifth. Mourne Mountains Brewery. What's your favourite Mourne Mountains Brewery beer? Well, no one so far because, number one, Mourne Mountains Brewery, don't follow me on Twitter. It's just so weird that you would ask a question whenever I put it out for on Twitter. And secondly, if you're hinting that it would be you guys, it won't be until you sponsor the podcast. Unfortunately, that's just the way it works. That is just the way it works. You ask me who my favorite fine tea suppliers are, I say Honey Teas. You ask me who my favorite painter decorator is, and then he said painter decorator. I'm sure he takes a pint. It's Owen Murray. But he doesn't take a pint when he's painting or decorating your house because he sponsored a podcast episode before. You ask me who my favorite company are that specialize in the grooming of male pubic hair, and I'm saying Manscaped. I'm saying manscaped.com, tea with me for 20% off and free shipping. But I'm not saying Mourne Mountains Brewery, which does sound delicious. Until you, number one, sponsor the podcast, and number two, make a gluten-free beer. So don't be cheeky. Con Gribben, beside Belfast, what's your favourite place you've done stand-up? My favourite place I've done stand-up is... LA was cool to do stand-up because I was doing stand-up in LA, but I've definitely done far better sets. I would say either New York. I'd say New York. The Stand in New York is the favourite place I've done stand-up because New York is one of the comedy capitals of the world. And The Stand is just this brilliant venue. The lineups were insane. And I had a couple of nice sets when I was there. I did an early show and a late show. The early show, I just went okay. And the late show, I had a good one. Rebecca Patton, oh, you've already asked that. Cats or dogs. Okay. Stephanie Marner, what's something you've tried that you'll never try again? Something I've tried but won't try again? I don't know if I'm someone that is either like, I'll try anything or nah. You know what I mean? Like I was joking about taking gear earlier. I've never tried drugs, like proper drugs. You know what I mean? Like actual drugs. And I've no curiosity for that. But what's something I've tried that I'll never try again? Marmalade. Speaking of the hard stuff, I have marmalade on my toast because we ran out of jam earlier in the week. And don't get me wrong, I didn't mind marmalade, but it didn't inspire me to ever want to try it again. So there's that. So it's something it's one of my bucket, one of those bucket list things, orange marmalade, that I've done it and I don't have to do it again. Something I've tried that I'll never try again. I mean, I can only think of food and drink stuff. I mean, terrible content on a podcast when you just have a guy thinking, when it's just one person that does the podcast. No, I don't know. I don't know. Also, before we move on, I want to thank everybody that listened to the radio show on BBC Radio Ulster last week. I hosted by myself because Dave Elliott has had another one, a beautiful baby girl called Matilda. Let me just look for the right word. Cute. So cute to have a little cute baby girl and call her Matilda. Very, very cute. And Dave has a very, very cute daughter called Holly. So Dave just keeps having, Dave and Catherine just keep having very cute babies. And I love it. And I think I could see Dave having 20, 25. That's just my guess. I just think he will keep having children and I love it. I love to see it. And I think he thinks of me as one of his little children as well. And I think that's a beautiful thing. But I did the radio by myself for the first time. I was so nervous. Like, so unbelievably nervous, because when for a split second, if I can't think of something to say or I stall, Dave will jump in and vice versa. And we know each other's brains scarily so well that we just know when the other person needs like backup. So to not have that, I started talking so fast at the start of the show. And then I think I got more to grips with it as it went on. But listen, your two favorite mates are back on this week and it's our second last show. It's our second last show on Radio Ulster, doing the old school dance, which it's honestly a pleasure to do it every week, to play old school dance music with your best mate. And the fact that people seem to really, really enjoy the show, like all the messages that come in on Instagram and Twitter are a lot from podcast listeners as well. So that's class when I see names I recognize and I'm reading them out. It's great. So we're doing two more and then the show has finished its run, I guess, and we're off air until next year. So I don't know what we'll do in the meantime. I do want to do something with Dave, and we would love to do some kind of broadcast type thing together to fill that in between where Radio Ulster will have another show on. So I don't know, we're sort of putting our heads together and thinking about something with that, because it just feels like there's like a bit of a movement there. It feels like, and maybe I'm wrong to describe it as that. Maybe I'm being, I don't know what the word is, but I think it's like the same people listen to the show, and that's the first time we've had that. So yeah, I'm grateful to everybody that listens. And we're back 6 o'clock, BBC Radio Ulster. You want to listen to any of the shows we've had on before, it's on BBC Sounds, which is like iPlayer for radio. And they have podcasts on there and stuff as well. So we just, you get to hear me and Dave for an hour and a half playing dance music, having a bit of crack in between. So check those out. I thought there was one more question. That's it for the pod this week. I've got a guest on Friday. I think we're doing maybe 4 guest episodes in the next week. So a guest that we will have on next week is Sam Halliday and Kev Baird from Two Door Cinema Club, who are launching their own podcast. So they're coming on my Inception for podcast. They're coming on my podcast. They're going to talk about their podcast, and then you can go listen to their podcast. And their podcast is very, very, very good, because it's a great idea. But I'll talk about that with them as they come on. As always, cheers. Patreon.com/TeaWithMePodcast. You want to support the podcast, go on there, see what we have. I'm going to run through the names of the, I'm going to do the roll call of shame of everyone who supports the podcast, and we're just going to give them a major shout out. And I meant to go on Patreon.com, and I went on a website there called Parents.com. And that is a website I will never go on, because I do not need told how to raise my child. Wow, great content. Hey man, cool content. Leave more spaces. Patrons, where are you? Where are the wee Patreons? These are the people that support the podcast week on week. We buy equipment. Like this webcam is bought. It's a very, very top of the range, very sexy webcam. It's bought with the Patreon money. We're getting some stuff for the studio with it. So it's always welcomed. And I'm thanking these people right now. All these people, Big Sippers, all these people prepared when they signed up for the Patreon. They are prepared to, in their own words, go to war at a second's notice if anyone tries to mess with this podcast. Nathaniel Joseph McCauley, Christy Cowler, Leanne Fox, Carl Brannigan, Connor Hughes, Ronan McNulty, Gareth Duggan, Darren Kane, Keith McAlevey, just SP, hey, no questions asked, Ruth, G. Lennox, Morgan Dudley, David Ruddle, Ryan Murdoch, Paddy Power, Gigi Scar, William Palmer, Harry Gamble, Aaron Downey, Lauren Pollock, Kevin McShane, Ryan McGill, Declan Mulholland, Andrew Patterson, James Rogers, Jordan McDonald, Oliver Tumulty, Leanne Clokey, Reese Fletcher, Lauren, Joanna Quayle, Rory Marlowe, Ryan Carroll, Patrick Glass, V for Vendetta, Martin McKagan, I know V for very much appreciate the fact of your Patreon, Nicky Mark, Owen Murray, Connor Diver, Emma McCain, Patrick Walsh, Andrew McKee, Connor Norris, Katrina Hall, Ruth W, Arma Apples, obviously in brackets, Tommy, Carol Marriott, Kieran Stewart, Sarah McKee, come on, Loden Page 2, Lisa O'Hare, Gillian Andrews, Peggy Smith, Ashley Turner, Gary Armour, Suit of Armour, Noel Smith, Brian Ross, Shane McMullen, Johnny Bow, Reese Rogers, Adam McIntyre, Barn, Emma Nicoran, look, okay, full disclosure there, Emma Nicoran, Emma's surname's in Irish, we respect that on the podcast, but sometimes we aren't always able to pronounce it, but what we do is, we raise our cups, and we hopefully say, don't cancel your Patreon just because we don't know exactly how to pronounce your surname. Aaron Donaldson, Mick C, Terry Charlton, Andy Young, Karis Doak, Orla Bradley, Matthew Thompson, Peter McIldowney, Julia Hewitt, Rebus, and last but not least, it's our man Wormball. We have a question, by the way. I put the questions out on Patreon for people to get in there early if you want to. And Arma Apples, in brackets, Tommy. Question for Danny Boy Surf, if he could be the backbone for any other podcast, what one would it be? Now, a couple of things piss me off about this, and we're not going to spend too much time talking about it, Tommy. What do you mean the backbone of the podcast? Where is he? I'm only joking, he's in my wardrobe. No, listen, the backbone of this podcast is undoubtedly Danny Boy Surf, to be fair to him. Podcast extraordinaire. But and if he could drive any other podcast, listen, he does drive another podcast. We don't talk about it on this. It is not a local podcast. It is a podcast for somebody who has a far higher profile than me. And what do we do about that? we bring that person down. That person is a major celebrity. Major celebrity. Household name. And producer Dan, traitor to the Sippers. To be fair, he was doing it way before this. To be fair, it probably pays him so much better than we pay him. But at the same time, he needs to stop being a real turncoat. And he needs to cut all of his ties with not just the other work he does professionally, with his friends, with his family. And he needs to move into the studio, even though I don't do my podcast really anymore in the studio, but I am hoping to. He needs to move in there in a little blow-up bed. And all that's going to be there, all I want to be in the studio, it's a couple of microphones, Danny Boy surfing a blow-up bed, and a couple of teapots, which he can have. But thanks for your question, Tommy, but I am the backbone of this podcast. Sippers, thank you very much for listening and watching. If you just listen to the audio version, you want to see the video version, youtube.com/ShaneTalkComedy. I think I got that URL. I don't know. You just find it. You know what I mean? You'll find it. And for all the audio listeners, cheers. If you want to rate and subscribe the podcast and Apple Podcast, that'd be really sweet. Sippers, keep living the dream. Thanks very much. Hope you enjoy the new webcam. NBC, Manboy Cheeky, Money Boy, Sheeny Boy, QQ coming at you in high definition. I don't think I can say Money Boy. I think Floyd Mayweather has that one. But at the same time, I think we have beef with Floyd Mayweather, so I'd love to smack him. I should have stopped talking earlier. As always, Sippers, thanks very much. Cheers. Sipper, God love you. If you've made it all the way through this episode, that means you love Tea With Me, you love this podcast, or it means like you've drifted off and you've just left this on and play. Either way, what you need to do is head over to our Patreon. If you enjoy the podcast and you want more tea, that's where you go. We do a bonus episode called The Special Brew every Monday and a live stream podcast every Friday with some of your favorite comedians. You can chat, interact, ask questions. When we announce live podcasts, you get early access to tickets with a little bit of a discount on there. And there is so much more. You can go back and watch, I think, nearly 1,000 hours of content. Tea With Me Patreon, which is patreon.com/TeaWithMePodcast. The link is in the description. I'll see you there.